Welcome to the Practical Church Revitalization Podcast. We look at revitalization in real time, examining the ups and downs of revitalizing and replanting historic and legacy churches throughout New England and the U.S. Now here's your hosts.
Welcome back to the Practical Church Revitalization Podcast. I'm your host, Don McKinnon of Legacy Church in Sutton, Massachusetts. And this is a short episode today. I want to kind of bring you up to date on some things going on with the podcast. We are looking forward to 2022. We're going to be posting, one last new episode next week, where I will be actually, I will be in Kansas City at that time, because I will be walking the stage next Friday for my graduation and getting my master's degree. So my wife and I will be there, but we will be recording an episode, and that episode will go live at about, sometime early in the morning. And then for the rest of the year, because of the holidays, we're going to be doing kind of best of episodes for the remainder of the year, and then come back with new episodes after New Year's. So that's going to be part of that housekeeping. But I'm trying to get some interviews locked up for this podcast. I have a couple of pastors that I have wanted to interview and talk to about their situations and some of the stuff that they're going through. There is an interesting church. I am working on getting an interview with two pastors, one church building. That's going to be an interesting interview because both churches are not in the same denomination. They are actually, one is actually kind of a Baptist kind of church plant in theology wise, which, you know, we'll say is non-denominational. It actually was birthed out of a church split. And then they host a Presbyterian church in their building, and that's kind of an interesting discussion, which I want to have. I actually know the pastor of the non-denominational church very well, because it is a church I worked at. It is a church I was a youth pastor at. So that's going to be a good interview there. Some of the other stuff that we have coming up is... we've got a couple other interviews that we are working on. Liarte Soares, you heard him from the pastor's encouragement dinner, and we're going to bring him in for an interview and talk to him. How, you know, we're talking one interview is going to be two churches, one building, and this one is one pastor, two churches. So that's going to be an interesting one. And then we've got some other, interesting things that I can't say, exactly what they are, but, I will let you know that, it's going to be interesting. It's going to, kind of expand us a little bit out of, church replanting, but, more into, something that's been on my heart, which is revival. And so we're gonna do that. But anyway, the other thing that I wanted to kind of bring you up to date, and I'm hoping to get Eric here, but Eric has taken a leave from the Practical Church Revitalization Podcast. A lot of it has to do with burnout. He has had a lot going on, and I'm going to ask you to please be praying for him and for First Church and for Sam, who had temporarily came in as our third host. But they have a lot of stuff going on at their church. And, I don't think I'm overstepping bounds, because I'm not saying everything here, but I don't think I'm overstepping my bounds by saying they really do need a lot of prayer right now. And just be praying for First Church, because, COVID has affected a lot of churches, and there's just a lot of stuff going on that Eric needs the prayers for at this moment, and Sam too. They need wisdom and guidance as they go forward as the pastors of First Church. So that's what I'm going to say there. But anyway, we are going into December as of this podcast, and how are you preparing for Advent thing? And I think it's kind of an interesting little bit that we didn't do it, because I think that's one thing I want to say, is I think that when podcasts revisit the same thing every year, you get kind of bored. Like, I can understand it, 2 years back to back, but then you need to, nip it a little bit in the bud, and maybe continue just regular podcasts. But we're going into Advent, and I think we've decided that last year we bought an Advent wreath, and we only used it. We got it late. It was one of those clearance, it was like 3 days before Christmas, and here's the Advent wreath. And since all churches have already lit their Advent wreaths, here's this $30 Advent wreath for $10. So we bought that, and we bought the candles, and we thought we'd light it for Christmas Eve, and then have it ready to go for the first week of Advent. And those candles burnt down. And I think it's because, as a few people made note, our church is drafty. And so we are trying to kind of make up an Advent wreath log. I don't know what to call it, but we're trying to do something for Advent, which is going to be a little bit different. And I think it's going to be good, but I think, we're going to be trying to put this together late. And I think come next year, we're just going to go with a couple of those 8-inch, 3-inch wide Advent candles, get three purple, one pink, and one white, and just do it that way. Because, it's just was not good. You're in an old church, drafty church, and that was not well thought out. But at the same time, while I'll take the blame for it, I will also say that it was something I didn't realize. And it wasn't so much drafty. Let me kind of correct that. It wasn't so much drafty. It's just where our communion table is. We have three vents which blow air. And so it's just not really, just wasn't really, well, a lot of things in old church buildings, it was good for the time that it was in, but it was not good for now. So that's where we are with that. But, I'd like to know in the comments if you guys have ever put together some kind of thing for an Advent wreath. Because, for us, I think it's a little surprising, a little taking us back with it. But it's definitely something that we're going to be working on this year. And I think come next year, we'll have it perfected. At least I hope we have it perfected. Anyway, so I don't want to continue on with that, but, just a lot of other stuff going on in the preparations. And one of the things, I guess I'll say this, it isn't too bad, because I think at this time of year, it's a good point to just bring this in. How are you working in your community? So, this is kind of a conversation that I've been having with some people. And it's really a good point of thumb. It's something that really, as I finished seminary, I really became aware of, is how well are you talking to people in your community, and how well do you know your community? So, three quick points on this that I want to cover. The first point is, do you see the importance of this? And what I mean by that is, when you are, you know, if you're a pastor, now, I'm blessed right now to be living in the town that my church is in. I'm going to be fully transparent. If I had to buy a house, I would not be able to afford it. Our area is very expensive to live in. I think you'll see a false, what I would call a false thing of the average price is $400,000 for a house, which for Massachusetts is considered high reasonable. But the reason being is a lot of houses are houses that need repair, and those houses are going anywhere between $80,000 to $300,000. The majority of houses that are ready to move in with no work needed, they're going to cost you anywhere between $750,000 to $1 million. So it's a very expensive area we're in. We do have working poor, which we're, that's one of the things that I'm bringing in on this is, you know, learning your area, knowing your area. As a pastor, I think you have to get into your area and know the culture. Don't assume. You know, there's an old Benny Hill, and I think I've said this a few times, but there's an old Benny Hill skit where he says, do not assume. I'll leave the rest for you to imagine, but it has to do with the word. And what he's getting at in that is, you know, you can fool yourself and fool others by assuming. You know, we come into things with presuppositions of how we think an area is, but unless we're actually getting into the area, and I don't mean getting into an area for a brief time and then kind of focusing. I mean, you have to literally be in the area that you are ministering to. Now, I've kind of looked at our church, and I know people say, well, you know, a church needs to be ministering to your town, and we're kind of in a unique area. We're in a very rural village area of our town, and our church historically has brought in people from three other towns in this area. So I happen to be working in one of those towns, and I've gotten to know people. And so it helps you see, and it helps show the colors that might be hidden, because there's a lot of things, as you know, the last 4 months have gone by. I am really learning more about my area than I've knew about my area over the last 4 years I've been in it. So figure, I've been in my area for 4 years, over 4 years, but I'm just learning more about my area in the last 4 months because I'm more involved in it. I'm more, you know, and a lot of those presuppositions that I had about this area, I'm learning which ones were real and which ones are fake. And so it really does stuff to you. And when you're getting into your area, as you're going to the mom and pop places, you know, understand that's what you need to do as a pastor. If you're going to be the pastor of your community. Now, here's the thing. This is a new concept to me, something I've heard maybe in the last year. It's either Sam Rainer or Mark Clifton that has said it. I actually quoted this and mentioned Sam, and Sam joked saying Sam Clinton said it. But truth be told, here's the thing. If you are in an area, you are the pastor to that community. It doesn't matter how many pastors there are. All the pastors are the pastors to that community. So the question becomes, how do you become the pastor of the community? And this is where we have a very interesting balancing act. Now, this will go to part two. My second point on this is, if you are the pastor of the community, who are you talking to? Let me kind of focus this on. Are you just focused on, hey, this is what we're doing for the police and the fire and, you know, this group over here. So what about the rest of the people? What are you doing to get to know the rest of the people? This is why I brought up mom and pops. One thing that I've been trying to do, and this is going to be hard as I begin a diet regime come January, but I've been trying to have breakfast in the area once a week to once every couple of weeks, so that I'm kind of flooding into areas and people are getting to know me. In other words, it's not just the police and the fire department that are getting to know me, but it's other people in the town, because when they get to see you, when they get to see that you really care about the community, that gets them to kind of see that, hey, this church really does care about us. And so they're willing to come in and be a part of that. And that can be tough, especially, you're a revitalizer. Most revitalizers, when they begin, they are not in the community that they are ministering to. And that becomes a hard issue. This is why for some pastors in revitalization, I think the new thing I'm starting to see is what I'll call caretaking. In other words, a pastor comes in and they're only going to be the pastor for a short time to that community, but then they have that church prepared for the next pastor. And the next pastor will move into the community or in the next community over, so that they can be right there and a part of what is going on within the church. But the important thing is getting out and talking to people, going beyond the borders of your walls in the building, but also understanding that being the pastor of the community means that you are the pastor for all the people in that town. And then my final point on this is, what are your plans? Now, I'm bringing this up pretty much as a Army Corps of Engineers person. We had to have plans. We had to help with plans. We had to help with a lot of stuff. There were things that I did, whether it was wartime, and I served during a war. I have a national defense medal, but I served not just my country in a wartime, but I served the communities, and there were things that we had to do and understand about the communities, and then get a plan for those. So, in other words, if we decided, while I was in, we decided to rework a National Guard base that was in severe disrepair. And so we went out there, and I was part of the crew that had to sit down, assess the area, assess the building, assess several other areas, and then come together, and we had to work out a plan on how we could make things better. And that's what we need to do as revitalizers. We need to get into an area. We need to assess the area. We need to write down strategies. And then we've got to implement things to get those plans going. And you know, for some of you, you might think, oh, you know, battle plan. But it really is an important part of being a pastor. The Bible is full of verses where it talks about the plans of man are this, and God guides his steps. And so that becomes my big question for a lot of people is, what is your battle plan? You know, what are you doing to, you know, have that battle strategy going for the church? You know, what is the plan, man? What's the plan, Stan? I'm not trying to bore you on this, but this is really something that I think a number of churches fail at when we begin trying to come up with the grand scheme of things. In other words, we look at everything. We kind of look at how we're going to fit something into our wheelhouse. We think we know what is going to work, in other words. So let me kind of take this back and put it this way. If you're going to go in there and plan on bulldozing a long history of things that have gone on in that church for a long time, and when those things don't come to fruition, what is going to be your excuse why? In other words, you know, we go into these things, we come into these areas, we have studied long and hard what we're going to do, but are we sure it's all God's will? I know that's probably not making sense, but here's the thing. God gave you your church that address for a reason. If you do not know what the vision and mission is for that church, you can come up with one that you would as a church plant. But here's the thing. You are in an established church. You have a history. You have so many other factors going on with that, that I think we need to understand the importance of what's going on there. So my point on this, and this is me when I'm alone and no one to talk to, but my point on this is, you know, going back and kind of sewing this all together with the presuppositions and everything else, you got to know your area. You got to know your area for a reason so you can come up with that battle plan. Because if you go in and you're just thinking, I'm going to do this, this, and this, and then you get frustrated because you're doing this, this, and this, and nothing's working. It's not working because you haven't fully grasped the area that you're in. You haven't fully grasped what you're trying to do. You haven't fully grasped the things that are going to make things right. So I think I'm going to leave it there. I'm just going to say this. I'm going to wrap it up. The thing I would say is, come up with a battle plan. Get out into your community. Learn your community. Those are three key areas. Now, You might say, well, what about prayer? What about reading the Bible? Well, yeah, those are number one and number two, in my honest opinion. You got to be reading your Bible and you got to be praying. But then when it comes to getting out, and here's the thing, you know, I think a lot of people, they hold to this whole, to the whole Christ will build his church mantra. And I think we do have to hold on to that. But at other times, we hold on and we hide behind it. And so we use that as an scapegoat for why we're not doing certain things. My thing is, Pastor, if you're called to revitalize a church, if you're looking for revival, yeah, prayer and Bible reading are the two most important things. But then after that, learn your community. It's one thing to learn your church. Mark Clifton and Replant, that's the big thing. Preach, pray, love, and stay. That's the four things that they teach us in Replant. But when it comes to getting out into your community, that's my three things is learn. Let's see, how would we say this? Learn, meet, and plan. Learn, meet, and plan. So that's it. We'll have a final year one with my wife next week, and then best of until the end of the year, and then we'll be back with some new topics and some new interviews. So God bless. Love you guys. You're in my prayers.